Thursday, June 6, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, wherever it is that you are, you're sick of the same takes, you're sick of the same subjects just again and again and again. I know here in Denver, hey, we get Denver Broncos 365. I love my Denver Broncos. I do. But I don't need to hear talk about them when there's nothing whatsoever happening. Can you give me something else? Can you talk a little bit about the national stories? Here at the Daily Dose, we try to do it a little bit better. We try to talk about a number of different subjects. We try to give you a dose of common sense that is desperately needed. And we'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get that chance, because actually a lot of it's pretty funny. Hey, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Of course, today, June 6th, is a very important day. Not so much in sports history. No. This is way bigger than that. This is a big day in United States history. This is a huge day in world history, because it was on this day, back in 1944, that the Allied invasion on Normandy took place. Operation Neptune, often referred to as D-Day. It was the largest seaborne invasion in history. The operation began the liberation of German-occupied France and later Europe from the Nazis. It laid the foundation of the Allied victory on that Western Front. Now, I don't want to go all that deep, you know, into history and world history and all those things. But Normandy? That was a crazy, crazy operation. I mean, basically, what they did was, let's just keep throwing more and more soldiers at those beaches than you guys can shoot. That was the plan. Yes, we know we're going to get shot a lot, but we're just going to keep shooting and keep shooting and keep shooting. And eventually, we're going to get where we need to go. They had a real, let's say, Kobe Bryant mentality when it came to Normandy. Yes, you're going to shoot a bunch of us, but we're going to keep coming, and eventually, we will secure that beachhead. Hey, I know that we kind of throw out that term of the greatest generation of all time. Hey, but when you study what actually happened on D-Day at Normandy, it does make you think about the toughness of that generation. That's just a different mentality. I can't imagine this current generation having to keep storming that beach, knowing full well you're going to get killed, but you have to keep going forward. We're going to get this beachhead. We have to keep going. We know we're seeing people fall all around us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine today's generation having to do that? That's not going to happen. This current generation would be dying from not having their vaccines before they ever got shot. Hey, you know, you're gonna have to look up from your phone to avoid some of those bullets, or you're not going to make it. And hey, stop taking a selfie. Too late. They got you. Yeah, this generation would be really, really hard pressed to pull off something like D-Day. Hey, D-Day happened today on June 6th, back in 1944. And it was not for the faint of heart. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us why you think your generation was the toughest of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Doesn't have to be D-Day related. Doesn't have to be anything about your generation. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a question for us. Maybe you have a specific subject that you want us to tackle. Reach out to us here at The Dose. We want to hear what you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need, or you know that a father out there needs for Father's Day. Hey, Father's Day is coming quickly. You might want to head over to tpublic.com, where you can get coffee mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, a number of Daily Dose items over there. Just search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and there you're going to find a number of things that are going to be great for Father's Day. So make sure you stop by there. Hey, we've got a lot to get through today. Yes, we have a few sports news stories we need to talk about. But then, as we do on many Thursdays, we're going to be taking a look at a few of the top sports media overreactions of the week. We've got one in the NFL this week. We've got a number of sports media overreactions in the NBA with those NBA finals going. We even have a really, really strange, bizarre one coming out in the world of boxing. Going to get to those in just a few minutes. Starting off with those NBA Finals, the Toronto Raptors got a huge win last night in Game 3 of those NBA Finals as they beat the Golden State Warriors 123-109. Well, at least they beat the Golden State Warriors junior varsity squad. They take back home court advantage, and now they are up 2-1 in that series. Of course, the Warriors were without Kevin Durant, they were without Kevon Looney, but it also sounds like Warriors management talked Klay Thompson into giving that hamstring some more rest too. I don't know that this was a must-win game for Toronto. It's not like it was a true game seven or anything, but it's about as must-win as it gets. Hey, you can't lose to a team who is basically down three starters. Now, I know a lot of the talk today is going to be about how the Warriors just didn't have any scoring punch last night. Hey, they don't have KD. They don't have Klay. They just couldn't shoot it enough. They just couldn't score it enough. But you know what? Once again, this series is all about defense. Hey, you can't allow 123 points and hope to win very many games. Game three was all about defense. Toronto's was pretty good. They just couldn't stop Steph Curry all night, who carried the Warriors. Steph Curry scores 47 points last night. Pretty impressive stuff. It just took him a lot of shots to do it. But I mean, the Warriors were held to around 40% shooting from the field. They shot just over 30% from three-point range. Meanwhile, Toronto shot 52% from the field. Hey, Kawhi had 30. Kyle Lowry had 23. The Raptors had six different players in double figures. I just don't think the Raptors could afford to lose that game last night. And you know, watching that game, especially late, everything kind of broke their way. They threw up some garbage. It all went in. Everything kind of broke the way for the Raptors last night. Hey, but here is the great thing about that win last night. Game four tomorrow night and game five on Monday night, honestly, they're probably going to be the most interesting NBA Finals games that we have seen, I don't know, in maybe the last 2-3 years. We haven't had very good NBA Finals the last few years. We already knew the outcome. We are finally seeing the Warriors get put to the test. Granted, some of it is because of injury, but we are going to see some high drama in these next few games. Moving over to college basketball, it looks like the college basketball three-point line is going to get pushed back next season to the international distance. That is 22 feet, 1 3/4 inches. The NCAA announced that yesterday. The current three-point line is actually 20 feet, 9 inches. But remember, it was just back in the 2008-2009 season that it was moved back from 19 feet, 9 inches. Now, I don't have a problem with them moving it back again, but here's the thing. Shooters just keep getting better, and if nothing else, they just keep putting up more and more volume. It's going to take a few years. We're going to see the percentages drop a little temporarily, and then they'll probably just go right back up, but they are going to drop that college three-point line back a little bit. Finally, moving over to Major League Baseball, Commissioner Rob Manfred says he does not expect teams to make changes to the protective netting around their ballparks during the season, although he knows conversations are going to continue in the offseason. But remember, it was just last week that a young child was struck by a foul ball and ended up being hospitalized in Houston. Manfred said structural issues in each individual stadium make it very difficult to mandate changes during the season. Although, I mean, you are going to have the All-Star break. You'd think you could do something then. But that the incident down in Houston is going to lead to more conversation. Here's what Manfred had to say. Look, I think it is important that we continue to focus on fan safety. If that means that the netting has to go beyond the dugouts, so be it. But each ballpark is different. The reason I hesitate with putting netting beyond the dugout, I mean, a lot of clubs are beyond the dugout already, but there is a balance here. We do have fans that are vocal about the fact they don't want to sit behind nets. I think that we have struck the balance in favor of fan safety so far, and I think we will continue to do that going forward. Okay, let's slow down and think about this just a little. I know that Major League Baseball tends to be a little slow on things, but think about this for 1 second. The commissioner of baseball just said, we do have fans that are vocal about the fact they don't want to sit behind nets. And he also said, I think we have struck the balance in favor of fan safety so far. Oh my goodness. Okay, first, I don't care what the fans want in this case. I really don't. Fans want to throw things on the court. Do we let them? No. Fans want to run out on the field and punch officials. We don't let them do that either. They don't get everything they want. Hey, I don't care what fans want. Do we take the glass down at hockey games? Well, hey, the fans don't want to look through the glass anymore. No, you keep the glass up because it protects the fans from getting themselves killed. Second, Manfred says Major League Baseball has struck a balance in favor of fan safety so far. We literally see people get hit by foul balls every single year. Children, it's not rare. We have seen this before. I have personally been at a game that a child got hit by a foul ball. It was not pretty. You will not forget that sound as long as you live. And you know, it's not just the fans. I mean, think about the pitchers who we do see every once in a while get drilled by a line drive coming right back at them. And it is horrifying. We don't see baseball do anything about that either. Here's the bottom line. Baseball is very reactive. They are not very proactive. And I'm going to say this, and it is horrifying, but I'm going to say this. We are going to see someone die at a baseball game. Don't say you didn't know. It's coming. I hope it doesn't. But I'm telling you, when you see those baseballs, I was at a game one time back long ago. A foul ball comes up and there is a guy near me who makes a run for this ball. Now, he's a reasonably athletic looking guy. He makes a move for this ball. That ball comes at him so fast, it hits his thumb and snaps it back to his forearm and just crushes his thumb, breaks it right off. Now, this was a guy saw it coming, was paying attention. He wasn't like looking down at his phone or a little kid like looking up at a butterfly. He saw it coming and tried to make a move on it. That ball is coming so much faster than you think it was. Hey, Major League Baseball had better step in because we are going to see a horrible, horrible tragedy take place at a baseball game, and it could absolutely be avoided. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our sports media overreactions of the week, and we do have some very good ones. Hey, the newest heavyweight boxing champion, yet he's apparently not what he appears to be. The Oakland Raiders are embracing their past, it sounds like, and we are hearing all sorts of wild hot takes about those NBA finals. We're going to get to all those when we get back.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday coming or an anniversary, or you just want to buy something for yourself. And don't forget that Father's Day is in June. You're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Toy Box. Return to an era where action figures were plentiful, towels doubled as capes, the floor was lava, and Saturday morning cartoons were serious business. Crack open our Toy Box and play around with some awesome pop culture gear. June's Loot Crate theme features items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Legend of Zelda, and more. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of other crates. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox each month. Or you can just order individual items for whatever franchise you want. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we will get you 10% off of your order, just as a thank you for listening to The Daily Dose.
So on a lot of Thursdays, we like to take a look around at the sports media world and just kind of see what things they're trying to spin to us. Because, hey, they're trying to sell their product. They're trying to get you to watch their show. They're trying to get you to click on their article. They're trying to get you to tune in to whatever it is that they're spinning to you. It doesn't have to make any sense. They're just trying to throw out a hot take there. Hey, maybe it'll grab your attention. Maybe you'll be scrolling through and kind of see this hot take and say, really? Is that what's happening here? Well, on Thursdays, we like to take a little bit of a closer look at some of those things and just say, okay, does this make any sense whatsoever? Now, I'll warn you ahead of time. Most times, they don't make any sense. Most times, they're just silly. You're going to see what I mean in a second. The sports media world throws out a number of things that are just nonsense. On Thursdays, we like to take a little bit of a closer look and see what it is that they're saying. So let's jump into a few of them that we've gotten this week. And the first one is in the world of boxing. Okay, this one is a little bit weird. And look, I realize that at least here in the United States, we are at the height of our sensitivities every single day. Everyone is super sensitive. We're so easily offended. And we're so bored right here in the United States that we're just looking for reasons to be offended and get triggered and get upset about something. And you know what? Before I even get to this take, speaking of this whole kind of wussification of America that we have going right now, brief side note before we actually get to the overreaction. Be patient with me. Sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent. You know, back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s even, we had a lot of commercials here in the United States. And if you watch them now, like, they're really terrible. They truly are. They're like shaming females for really strange reasons. Like, you would have someone come on and say, oh, I just saw your husband's collar. You didn't get that ring out of his collar. And like, somehow this woman is supposed to feel bad about not getting her laundry done right. You're a huge loser. You don't know how to do laundry. Or like another female, a lot of times it would be like the mother-in-law would like walk into the house and be like, oh, wow, look at this dust I just got off your rail. You've got a dusty house. You know what you need? New lemon-scented whatever. And they would try to sell things by like shaming the females in that era. And that was a huge thing. Go back and watch some of those old commercials. Almost every single like household commercial, that is what it was. You were shaming females. Maybe they couldn't cook as well. Maybe they didn't keep a clean house. All those old school mentality kind of things of what they thought women should be in that era. Hey, it was horrible. Weird era, odd era, but whatever. But let me just lay out how things have changed now here in the United States. Because that pendulum, trust me on this, it has swung back the other way, and it's probably swung back a little too far. Because every commercial now, as opposed to then making females look bad, is making males look bad. So if you're watching a commercial now, it's something like, this guy is too much of a moron to do anything. He's a complete idiot. So we need the female to come in and save the day for him. So we've kind of flipped those roles. Now the female is the savior, and now the guy is the complete imbecile. Hey, go watch a commercial. Trust me, you will see that 50 times when you're watching whatever game you happen to be watching tonight. That is where the pendulum is at now. But right now, there is a commercial that is actually getting a lot of airtime. They showed a lot during the NBA Finals specifically. I think it's for like a popular sports drink. You'll know what I'm talking about. It has Miami Heat star Dwayne Wade and his wife in this commercial. His wife, who is an actress, not an athlete. And they are competing against each other on a treadmill. Have you seen this commercial? And they're like running. And then like she kicks it up and she starts running harder. And then he kicks it up and he starts running harder. And it appears that she keeps beating him at all these physical activities, like who can run faster, who can go further. She keeps beating him. We are so woke in this era, in this country right now, that we can't even say, hey, you know what? This professional male athlete, he would probably be a little bit better than her in this physical challenge. No, no, no. She's faster than him. She has more endurance than him. She is better than the professional athlete. That's where we're at right now in this country. I just laugh every single time I see Dwayne Wade getting beat by his wife, who has no physical background. She's an actress, because, hey, we don't want to insult the females. We did that for years. Whatever. Side tangent. Back to the original premise. I do have a sports media overreaction in here somewhere for you. Okay. Everyone is just waiting to be triggered, like I said. And there are certain triggers, like body shaming, that flare up right away. And that seems to be the case when we are looking at our new heavyweight boxing champion, Andy Ruiz Jr. No, he doesn't look like a champion. But after his defeat of Anthony Joshua on Saturday night, it has kind of been a popular take on certain websites out there. You'll know the ones that I mean. They might rhyme with Bluffington Post or, you know, something like that. They have some articles out there that are saying, hey, you guys need to stop judging Andy Ruiz Jr. and saying that he's fat. I'm not even joking. They're saying we shouldn't be saying that. It's not true. Ruiz is a powerful fighter, and he proved that by stopping Joshua in the 7th round to become the first Mexican heavyweight champion of all time. But I mean, at the end of the day, doesn't this whole, hey, he's fat, he's not fat, like, doesn't it come down to sort of what you choose to believe? Like, do you choose to believe a few silly sports media members that are taking up this, I don't know, weird anti-bullying cause to defend the heavyweight champion of the world? I mean, think about that for just a second. You're going to defend the heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, it's a little bit weird to be. So are you going to believe them, or are you going to believe, I don't know, your own lying eyes? Dude is 6'2". He weighs in at around 270 pounds. After the fight, after his victory, Ruiz himself said that now he needs to actually get in shape. Look, I know we are woke as a nation right now. I get it. I understand. But dude even dedicated his win over Joshua to all of the fat boys everywhere. Hey, we can pretend that Ruiz is this svelte athletic, chiseled-looking fighter, but he's not. And you know what? That's okay. He doesn't have to apologize for it. He beat the guy that looks like the fighter. But we don't have to go all politically correct here. Sometimes you can have successful fat athletes. I mean, think about it. Warren Sapp, fat, phenomenal athlete. Charles Barkley, my cousin John Daly, Vince Wilfork, CC Sabathia, even George Foreman. Hey, they were all really good. And you know what else they were? They were all fat. We don't have to pretend these athletes aren't fat. They're doing fine. It's okay. Okay. Another interesting hot take coming out this week is actually in the NFL. And it is that the Oakland Raiders are bringing in a lot of personalities and they could be a little bit combustive, but understand this. This is just what they did back in their glory years. I mean, right now on their roster, the Raiders have wide receiver Antonio Brown. They have linebacker Vontaze Burfict, and they just signed offensive lineman Richie Incognito last week, who had retired, he said at least. I know this might look a little bit volatile. This could actually mean big success for the Raiders and head coach John Gruden. And yeah, I suppose it could. Hey, back in the 1970s especially, owner Al Davis and head coach John Madden, they built a perennial championship contender with some of the biggest misfits and some of the biggest problem children in the league at the time. Think of some of those players on those teams. Quarterback Kenny Stabler, that was out all night drinking. Safety Jack Tatum, he was a monster. He wanted to tear your head off. Guys like John Matuszak, Ted Hendricks, whose nickname, by the way, was Kick Him in the Head Ted, Fred Biletnikoff, Phil Villapiano, Skip Thomas, Lester Hayes. Hey, they weren't exactly choir boys, were they? And those guys won. Maybe this is going to be the latest incarnation of that idea of just win, baby. We don't care what you do off the field. We just want you to win. But I mean, there are a few things we might be conveniently forgetting when we throw out this take that this new Raider team is going to be like those old Raider teams. One, hey, let's not underestimate how talented those players were. Now, Antonio Brown, he's still very good if he feels like playing. But like Incognito, I mean, he had retired. Vontaze Burfict, these two are both in the twilight of their careers. Also, let's not forget or underestimate just how good head coach John Madden was, because he brought all those guys together and somehow he got them to focus on one common goal. Hey, I don't care who you are off the field. On this field, we are all Raiders. We may fight the other team. We don't fight each other. We just take care of business. John Madden was so great at bringing those guys in together. Lastly, this roster still does have a number of holes on it. And while the Raiders have tried to take some steps to fill some of those spots, this team doesn't have much time playing together. There's still some very glaring weaknesses out there, specifically offensive and defensive line. We'll see how those come together. And maybe more importantly, we know how long that NFL season is. There's not a lot of depth on that Raiders roster. The Raiders are probably going to be starting rookie running back Josh Jacobs. But here's another question for you. Do you have any idea who the backup quarterbacks are in Oakland right now behind Derek Carr? Who doesn't, I might add, seem to be head coach John Gruden's favorite guy? Mike Glennon and Nathan Peterman. Now, maybe the Oakland Raiders surprises. And maybe they are a contender this year and they sneak up on everyone. But I actually think they have a lot of obstacles to overcome. And here's going to be the biggest thing. What happens if things go wrong? Do we start seeing some of these guys check out? Do we start seeing some of them becoming more divisive and tearing up the locker room? Hey, Antonio Brown had a pretty good situation going in Pittsburgh, and he burned that to the ground. What happens if things are actually going badly in Oakland? We could see this get really, really ugly very, very fast. Hey, moving over to some of the biggest sports media overreactions that we have heard this past week in the NBA, and of course, with those NBA finals going, we are getting quite a few of them, and one of them is coming after every single Toronto Raptors game, and I'll be honest, I'm already getting sick of it. And we still probably have a few more games to go, and then we're going to hear it more and more. After every single game, if the Toronto Raptors win, we get the hot take of, hey, they just won. Kawhi Leonard is staying in Toronto. And if they lose, hey, Kawhi Leonard is not staying in Toronto. Really? I mean, why does the sports media world feel that they have to issue a proclamation after every single game? You're not Kyrie Irving. You don't need this. So by this logic, if the Raptors win at all, then Kawhi Leonard definitely stays. I'm not sure if that's accurate at all. And if they don't win the championship, then he's definitely gone. I'm not sure about that either. Couldn't you just see, win or lose, couldn't you just see Kawhi Leonard signing a one-year deal with Toronto and then doing all of this again next year after he kind of sees where everyone else is going to end up? I could easily see that happening. I know it might not get people to click on it, but it might actually be the right prediction. We don't need to make a prediction every single game. Let's wait and see where Kawhi Leonard ends up. I don't know where it's going to be. Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, a few people in the sports media world are also saying that Steph Curry actually has more pressure in these finals than Kawhi does. Hey, the Warriors were the favorites. They have a chance to win 3 titles in a row and 4 in the last 5 years. So if there is pressure on either Kawhi Leonard or on Steph Curry, it's all on Steph Curry. And you know, this one, it's once again a prime example of the sports media world just making up narratives that are totally meaningless. I mean, do these people really think Steph is like, oh no, ESPN or whoever says I have more pressure on me than Kawhi has on him. Now what do I do? I mean, stop coming up with these silly, meaningless statements. They don't mean anything. Steph has 3 titles. Kawhi has 1. Kawhi has 1 finals MVP. Steph doesn't have 1. And you know what? Both of these guys are the ultimate competitors. They're going to leave everything they have on the floor. Trust me on this. This series is not going to come down to who feels more pressure. It's going to come down to who is healthy and who can execute with the game on the line. I swear. This stuff probably sounds good in like a Monday morning meeting, sitting around like a boardroom table, but it's really, really stupid. Stop wasting our time with this crap that doesn't matter. Our final sports media overreaction this week is also about the NBA Finals, and it is the idea that Golden State Warriors big man DeMarcus Cousins has gotten himself a huge free agent contract with his play since coming back. Coming off that partially torn quad, Boogie took a few minutes to get going on Sunday night, but since then he's played pretty well. He's gotten rebounds. He's scored inside. He's made some really good passes. He has even stepped outside and knocked down a 3 or 2. Yes, he's a little bit of a liability on defense at times, but Boogie Cousins showed he can still play, and he's probably going to be getting a big fat contract from someone as a result of that. You know, this all sounds good, but I'm not so sure that I'm really buying it. Yes, Boogie might get some offers, but is he really going to get huge money? Not so fast. The problem with Boogie Cousins has never been about his talent. The problem has been, well, primarily his ability to get along with anyone, coaches, teammates, referees, media members, pretty much everyone, really. But even that hasn't been the problem lately. The problem with Boogie over the past 2 or 3 years is obviously he can't stay healthy. Remember, in 2018, when he was with the New Orleans Pelicans, he blows that Achilles. Then, this year with Golden State, after playing in just 30 games, he tears his quad. And these aren't your like garden variety basketball injuries. These are the injuries of either a very old player, and Cousins is only 28, or they are the result of something else. I'm not gonna say what, but you know, perhaps something else. But can he stay healthy? We have no idea. It doesn't look good. So has Boogie shown in these playoffs that he still has some game? Sure. But we don't know if he's going to be healthy for any amount of time. Now, if I'm a franchise and I'm looking for help, why would I give a huge contract to a guy that still has those attitude issues? And he might go down in game 3 of like the regular season and be gone for the entire year. Now, maybe this offseason, someone signs him to a 1-year deal so he can kind of prove he can stay healthy. But I'm not sure he gets much more than that. Hey, maybe the Los Angeles Lakers go get him. I don't know. I know it wouldn't make much sense, but I look at the Lakers and nothing they're doing makes a whole lot of sense. So this would be a perfect fit. Hey, the sports media world is always full of hot takes these days. But as you can see from today's sports media overreactions, a lot of it is mostly just hot air. Hey, tomorrow on The Daily Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you the biggest stories in the world of sports. And then we're going to be previewing the weekend in sports. There are going to be a few things that are going to be worth your time to watch. And we will have a very special Daily Dose Top 5 for you tomorrow. You have to make sure that you tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the suggestions. And thank you so much for sharing the show. We appreciate that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.